Accession number 8171, reel number 1.
Mr. Metalman, reel 1. Where were you born?
I was born outside Hamburg. At that time it was Prussia, so I could call myself a born Prussian. Later on, that town I was born in Altona, came to Hamburg. It was some border reorganization. So I'm a born Prussian, but could call myself a Hamburger now.
Which year were you born?
On Christmas Day in 1922.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father was a railway worker, an unskilled railway worker. He worked in Hamburg in the locomotive sheds, was a cleaner and just a general worker.
What type of schooling did you have?
I went just to the ordinary schooling in Altona. At first, Volksschule, as we call it. I don't really know the equivalent of the English system. And later on to Mittelschule. My parents had to pay for it. It was very little. But they had to save for it. And I suppose it gave me then a little bit of a better education, because I learned a little bit of English, and one had to stay 2 years longer at that school than in the ordinary Volksschule.
So how old were you when you left school?
I was 16 years old, less than 16 years old.
Were you a member of the Hitler Youth?
At that time, yes, because Hitler had come to power in 1933. And in January 1933, I just was 10 years old the Christmas before that. And I joined the Hitler Youth more or less straight away, because before that I had been a member of what we called the Jungschar, which is something like the scout movement here. I think since the age of 7 or 8, it was a Christian Jungschar, because my parents had a basic fundamental religious attitude. They considered themselves to be Christian, and my upbringing was as such, but in a loose way. We were Lutherans. And I think it was in the summer of 33... that all the youth organizations, by some state degree, government degree, were taken over by the Hitler Youth. And I remember that it was on a Sunday. We marched up with the Jungschar and to a place in Altona, and from the other side turned up a troop of the Hitler Youth in their brown shirts. We had green shirts. And there was some sort of greetings going on and handshaking by the leaders of either group. And then the two groups joined together and marched away. And from then on, I was a member of the Hitler Youth.
Were all the boys in the Jungschar happy to join the Hitler Youth?
Well, I mean, this is now so many years ago. In detail, I couldn't say that. I was young, I had no inquisitive mind, but on the whole, there was a puzzlement about the whole thing. My parents were not happy about it, I do remember that. But my parents were rather careful in expressing views because of certain things that had happened in our street. My father was frightened to lose his job or even to go to a concentration camp or something like that. But I do realize they were not happy about it. But most of us, we were.
Why were you happy to join?
Well, for once, it was something new again, and the brown uniform and all the leather things we had with it, it appealed to me somehow. It was great, and I do remember we straight away more or less got uniform, and they told us, well, you have to buy it, but if your father is a low income man or something like that, he can apply for help. And when I told my father I wanted money for a uniform, he said, oh, no. So I do remember that most of the money was being provided by the Hitler Youth, I don't know through what channels. And my mother was then quite happy. I had two shirts, which didn't cost her anything, and I had lovely trousers and the leather things and a necktie and a little kepi, this little ship things, a black one, and so I was proud.
What had been your parents' attitude towards the Hitler regime?
Well, it is not so easy to explain that, perhaps, because my parents were careful not to say too much. I was the only child. But I do remember it must have been just after 33. I mean, you will realize I was 10 years old. I cannot know exactly when these things were. But we had a neighbor. We lived in a large block of flats in Altona. And we had a neighbor. His name was Eichen. And I do remember that Herr Eichen was a very well-known man and a very liked man. He was something like the secretary of the union down by the docks, the ship workers. The dock was very near us at Altona, the port. And whether he was a communist, I do not know. But obviously what I feel about it now, he must have been a left-wing man. And one morning, my parents were talking quietly, and what had happened, Herr Eichen had been taken away in the night. And as it happens, they came early in the morning somehow, police and SA. He was taken away. And I remember that Frau Eichen had difficulty in finding where he was. Later on, it materialized. He was in a concentration camp near Hamburg. Was it Neuengamme or so? I am not quite sure about that. But the Eichen boys, for instance, one was slightly older than I and the other was not as old as I. I still remember it. We didn't want to play with them anymore because they had the stigma now of being the boys of a traitor. And my mother was fearful of talking to Frau Eichen. Frau Eichen was a very lost soul. They had to move out because, I can imagine, financial reasons. The flat they were living in was not an expensive one, but even that they couldn't afford. Frau Eichen, I think, had to go to work for that reason. And my father then sometimes, whenever he said something which was against the regime, which he sometimes did, it just came out, he said, now, boy, Henry, don't go out in the street and say what I have said, because then the same will happen to me as happened to Herr Eichen, and you would not like that, would you? And, of course, I loved my father. I argued with him sometimes. I was in favor of the whole Nazi thing, and he was always saying something like, oh, they are the same as everyone else, and there are lots of thugs in there, and you don't understand, and you will learn later, perhaps. But I was very much in favor of the Führer and the greatness of Germany. That all appealed to me.
Had your father or mother been a member of any political party before 33?
No. My father was in the Union, and my mother came of peasant stock from Schleswig-Holstein. But after 33, all the trade unions were kind of amalgamated into one big lot, which was called the Arbeitsfront. The leader, I remember, was a Dr. Robert Ley, was known as a drunkard, but he was one of the lieutenants of Hitler. I remember that just after the war, he committed suicide by hanging himself in a lavatory somewhere. and my father was then a member of the Arbeitsfront. I also do remember then that on the 1st of May there were always workers' demonstrations. They always had been, I suppose, but having been so young, I don't really know exactly what happened before 1933. But I do know that there were always workers' demonstrations after 1933 organized by the Nazi Party through the Arbeitsfront, and more or less the workers had to take part, because I do remember that my father, he did not like that. He had to go out, and they gave them all a kind of a uniform. He had to wear a certain hat, and he looked rather ridiculous in it, and he realized it because my father was a small man. And he hated the whole setup and the whole doodah.
Have you any recollections of the time when the Nazi Party took power in Germany?
Yes, I do remember it. Of course, at school it was mentioned, and also my father took me. I don't really know why. Maybe to give me that historical feeling or what. There was a big meeting near the town hall, and we got a new burgomaster. And a burgomaster in Germany is more than a mayor here. He is the ruler, you can say, of the whole administration. He has considerable power. The old burgomaster's name was Brauer, I remember, and the new one, the Nazi one, was Brix. And I think it was in connection with that Brix took over from Brauer. We went to the town hall. There was a big balcony, and there were many people out there. And the SA marched up, and there were speeches, and there were flags, swastika flags from the balcony, and everything was lit up. And it was a dark evening, end of January or beginning of February. It was kind of raining a bit, and there were scuffles broke out at the back, some fighting, and the police moved in and the SA moved in, and there was some fight. Some workers had shouted down or out, or they were against the Nazis, because it was a poor work, poor town really where we lived, and I can imagine that many people were organized in the communist movement there, because Ernst Thälmann, the general secretary of the Communist Party, lived in that area, and he was a well-respected man, even during the Nazi time. If you mentioned Thälmann, people had respect for Ernst Thälmann, who was murdered in a concentration camp later on. And I do remember then when the fighting broke out, my father took me away. That is really all what I remember of the actual takeover, Machtübernahme, as the Nazis called it, by the Hitler Party.
What does it mean?
Taking over power. Machtübernahme.
What was life like in Germany before the war, under the Nazi regime, for you personally?
Well, for me personally, it was all right. I mean, nowadays one says, oh, you lived in Hitler Germany, it must have been terrible, but it wasn't. Not for me as a boy. There were many boys living in the street, and we played around, and we had enough to eat. And as I said, now being in the Hitler Youth, we sometimes went to camps, well, twice a year, so to the seaside or to the mountains, and I had never really had a chance to get far away from the place where I was born. And I liked that. Of course, we had some pre-military training always, square bashing. We had to learn to march, and we had to learn military commands, all these things. But there was plenty of fun, too. We now played football or went swimming and things like that. And in the street, we boys had been so poor, we seldom had a football to play with. And now, the Hitler Youth, we had all these things. And that was great. At school, there was, I suppose, a reassessment of the whole educational problem, the whole educational plan, which I was too young, really, to realize it. But I do remember that, for instance, history books were drawn in and the new history books were issued. And already then, do I remember that some of us, including myself, we talked about it. Well, history is history. How can you take history away and bring new history in? That seemed a bit stupid, but that I do remember. And I think that all teachers had to belong to the NS Lehrerbund, National Socialist Lehrerbund, which is a trade union thing, I suppose, because they wore some things at their lapel here, with a little swastika or something like that. And I do think that all teachers had to belong to it, though I'm not quite sure about that. The whole history teaching, if I remember rightly, that changed very much. We were now told about the German greatness, and there was also quite a strain of teaching us that Germany needed Lebensraum, and that the forward-looking emperors in the historical past, they were the ones who realized that, and that they were looking for the Lebensraum in the East, because that was a Germanic right to go to the East, and because there's plenty of room, and after all, we are the superior race, and the Slavic races, they are lower race races, we call them Untermenschen, Slavs and Jews and Gypsies and all that rubbish. And now I don't feel that when I say that, I don't feel so today, please do understand me, but I want to express my thinking in those days.
Did you have any contact with the question of the Jews under Hitler?
Well, of course we learned about that at school, that the Jews were a cancer in German society, and most of the troubles we had, they could be led back to the Jews. But where we lived, there were no Jews. I didn't know any Jews. And I do remember when later on I was a prisoner in America, going forward a little bit, but that relates to this, that I was holding force somewhere. Oh, the Jews or so. Yes, they buggered everything up. And of course they were enemies of Germany. And somebody, an older prisoner, he said to me, "Did you know any Jews then?" I said, "No, I didn't know any." And he said, "Now look, that proves that you must have been brainwashed. How can you hate Jews if you hadn't known any?" But of course I knew that shops in our town and in Hamburg direct were owned by Jews. And sometimes with the Hitler Youth, I don't know exactly when it was, but at several occasions, I think I must have been somewhere around 12, 13, with the Hitler Youth, together with the SA, we went to Jewish shops in town. One was called Finkel's, I remember, a large department store. And we stood outside and kind of prevented people from going in, shoppers going in to buy. Most people did not go in then, but there were some courageous women, thinking back of it now, who just barged through this kind of SA Hitler Youth picket line. And I stood there, and well, it was all great big fun to me to stand with the SA together, and I felt important. What, of course, it really meant, I didn't have much idea.
But you didn't have any personal contact with Jews?
No, I never knew any Jew personally. All my life in Germany, really, I never knew a Jew. That's why when this other prisoner later on in America said to me, "Well, did you know any?" And I said, "No." Then I did realize then that, yes, I must have been brainwashed, because how can I hate the people if I don't know any one of them?
Did you have any contact with foreigners living in Germany?
No, not at all. In a poor working class area, we were all white, all German. If we sometimes saw a Negro, it happened sometimes because of the port. ships were coming in, but if you saw a Negro or somebody with a different color, you really looked. It was something strange and new.
You've mentioned her icon, but did you ever, before the war started, have any feeling or contact with any movement of resistance against the regime? Any evidence of it?
No, I suppose I was too young to realize that. But I do know that in area there were people who were communists and socialists. They called them Reichsbanner, the socialists, and their thing on their label was three arrows. It meant something like Freiheit, freedom, and I don't really know what. But each arrow meant something. But that was a sign of the Reichsbanner. The Reichsbanner, like the communists and like the Nazis with the SA, they had some organization. You don't have it here in England. Like the SA, it was a semi-military organization, and the Socialist Party had one with the Reichsbanner, and the Communists had one which they called Rot Front. And I know there was quite an activity of these groups, and that most people living there, they were either Reichsbanner or Rot Front. Later on, of course, the SA became dominant, but how all that happened, that was a political movement, and I cannot really recall that in detail.
Did your standard of living change during peacetime?
We didn't have a very bad standard of living. We had always enough to eat, but that was largely, I think, because my mother came from a peasant family, and over the weekend, in summer, I stayed with my grandmother or so. They had chicken, and my uncle was a butcher in a little village in Schleswig-Holstein. So we always had enough to eat. And my mother was a diligent woman. She kept the house together nicely and cleanly, and she made shirts and trousers and all these things we needed. And of course, when one is so young, one has no comparison to say, really, is one poor or is one rich? I did no other life, and if somebody would have put that question to me, do you consider yourself poor or rich? I wouldn't really have understood the question.
Did you ever go abroad before the war?
Yes, only once, to a school outing to Copenhagen. I think it must have been, how old was I? Around 36, when I was something like 14 years old. It was an established thing. It cost quite a bit of money, and I remember my father didn't want to pay, but my mother was said something, oh, look, the boy has a chance to go to Copenhagen, and 3 days we were there. And it was great. I liked it. And we were being told, when we go to Copenhagen, we must not march, because we were used at school and in the Hitler Youth, whenever we walked somewhere, it was left, right, left, right, left, right. And we were told, now, in Copenhagen, we must not do it. And we got off the ship, and it was strange to us to just to dawdle along in an unmilitary fashion. And we felt rather proud of being German. I remember that. Show-offs. In many ways we were. When there were Danish kids or so, we told them we are the Germans. And we also were told not to show any German signs like swastikas. And we were asked by our teachers to behave nicely. And Copenhagen. And we went by bus somewhere to to the north of that island where Copenhagen is on, the island of Zealand, the Schloss Kronborg, where Hamlet is supposed to be buried, to come out again whenever Denmark is in trouble. We looked over to Sweden from there. You can look over. The Sund is only something like 4 kilometers wide. And I remember that was my first and only time before the war that I was abroad, and I felt rather proud to be a German somehow, in a show of sense.
Were people friendly to you?
Yes, but then again, we had not much contact. We couldn't speak the language properly, but we always felt kind of for Denmark, because one must understand German history. All my four grandparents came from Schleswig-Holstein, and up to 1864, Schleswig-Holstein had belonged to Denmark. The war then between Denmark on the one side and the German states of Prussia and Austria on the other took place. Bismarck was prime minister of Prussia at that time. The German side won it, and from then on the whole of Schleswig-Holstein became part of Prussia. And then a few years later, after the Prussio-French War, 1871, the German Reich was being created in Versailles. I think it was the 28th of January, 1871. So I can really say that if that 64 war had not been, I would have been a Dane. So I became a Prussian then, and with the creation of the German Reich, we became Germans. Well, of course, I wasn't alive then, but for that reason, Denmark always was, and still is a little bit, in my mind, as kind of... I could have been a Dane, and it could have been my country.
When you left school, what type of work did you go into?
I became an apprentice, a locksmith's apprentice. We called it Schlosser and Maschinenbauer, with the railways. A railway workshop, the outskirts of Hamburg, and I started training there as a locksmith.
Why did you go into that type of work?
Well, my father was a railwayman, and somehow I had a liking for engineering, and I was being told that being in the engineering side, there is a future. The future of society will be based very much on engineering, and if I go into that line, I never will be out of a job.
Did you, and during these peacetime years, when did you become aware that a war was coming?
Of course, to put a date onto that, it is almost impossible now to say, because I cannot really remember that. But when Austria was being incorporated in the Reich, which was in 1938, I think, we learned that they showed us at school that now Hitler's land, because Hitler was an Austrian, the Führer now, he had taken Austria into our country. And somehow when I looked at the map, now Germany was becoming bigger. I do remember that it was pointed out to us, and I liked the idea. Czechoslovakia was sticking out like a sore thumb somehow into the middle of Germany. And a propaganda line also started in the papers or so, showing that from Czechoslovakia, Germany could be attacked by air. Then there was propaganda, of course, which was later on found out that all had been lies, that the Czechs suddenly started treating the Germans badly. And, not so long afterwards, the Munich agreement between Chamberlain and Hitler occurred, and a part of Czechoslovakia, which we call the Sudetenland, where most people living there were German-speaking, became part of Germany. And then later on, of course, the rest of Czechoslovakia was taken over. And I remember then looking at the new map, and of course at school we were always etched on in this way. Now Czechoslovakia was cleaned up, it wasn't sticking out, but Poland was sticking into Germany. And to my way of thinking, that was a little bit of a nuisance, a sore thumb. And one in one's mind, one drew the line across Poland. Now if this belongs to Germany too, then we are a nice, rounded territory in Central Europe. What a great power. And somehow, the thought appealed to me. And when I realized that now the Poles were being accused of treating Germans badly there, and there were many Germans living in Poland, I began to think, well, one day we'll take that lot, and good luck to us. So that's when I realized that a war could be on the cards.
Did you or any of your friends question the line that was being put forward by the government?
No. No, Hitler to me was somebody like a second god. I really believed that man had enormous wisdom. He had a grasp of history. Of course, these things, they must have been put to us by our teachers. But I thought maybe it came from my own way of thinking. But to me, there was no greater human being, no